Welcome back to the Mawa Dissing Show. I am Nicole Bakinage.
And I'm Shirley Nordrum. And today we're visiting with...
Alex Charging Horse Copenace.
I want to thank Alex for joining us here today. He's going to share with us his story of the flute. We have this series going on and we asked Alex to join us. So you want to tell us how you got started or whatever you want to tell us about your flute?
Ooh, all right. Well, I'd like to do a proper introduction. Bonjour. Gaknawea. That being said, my name is Alex. I am from Whitefish Bay, Ontario, Canada.
You've got a very cute little flute there, too. I've never seen such a tiny little flute. It's beautiful. Looks like a hummingbird flute.
Oh, yes. Well, I got this flute when I was down in New Mexico. And as soon as I've been playing the flute for a few years now. And as soon as I heard the note that this flute could hit, I knew I had to have it, and I had to bargain with the guy who was selling it. I ended up paying full price for it like a sucker. But I can sure make beautiful music with it. Let's give it a try. Pretty, huh?
Oh, that's beautiful. You sound like a bird in a tree there.
Yeah. All right. So with that being said, I'd like to start talking about flutes. Now, I picked up playing the flute when I was about 16 years old. So that was about good. I'd like to say 2 years ago. But it wasn't 2 years ago. I was more like six or seven. 6 or 7 years ago is when I picked up my very first flute. It wasn't mine. It was my big brother's. He was the one that was interested in playing. And he never had any lessons. We were both self-taught, and we kind of just went our own ways when it came to flute playing. And whenever we get together, we try and collaborate with something and just get that much better at it. And I do not have any of my own songs, composed songs of me playing on the flute or anything like that, just because I only like to do it when I'm at home or for special occasions like weddings and gatherings. And I mostly just like to play it at home just to have a nice relaxing feeling in the house. And the very first lesson I was taught about playing the flute is that the third hole from the top always has to be covered, and that whatever note you're trying to get to, you always got to start from the bottom and then go up. You can never just start lifting up the fourth from the top. You have to let go of the other two before you get to that one. The very bottom one is the very first one that you let go of. If you want to hit any of your higher notes, you got to let go of all of them except the third from the top. The more you play it, the more confident you get with being able to move your fingers around a lot faster to get a lot more different noises. And you just have fun.
Well, that was beautiful. I've never heard that told that way about that third hole from the top down. They've had some classes here at Tribal College, and I sat in on a few of them and actually bought a flute because I just love the sound of it and love watching the sunrise. So the sunrise and the flute seem to go together with me, especially in the springtime when the birds are singing and stuff. So But I'm thinking I'm gonna try that because I was not taught that, and it seems that watching your fingers fly around there, that's probably what's missing from my playing. So, miigwech for that. Check that out.
Yes, that's probably the very first thing that a beginner should learn, is that one never lets go unless you found a way to use it like this. And it's not much of a difference, but as a flute player, and if you're listening close enough, that you'd be able to tell that there's one extra note that was added just by lifting up that one.
Yeah.
And I don't encourage that right away. Just wait until you're familiar with the sounds that your flute makes. And
that's the cutest little flute I ever saw.
Isn't it? It's just, it's about what? Good 8 inches?
Yeah, about 8 inches.
Yeah. As soon as I heard how high the sharpness of it, I knew I had to have it. Even though I paid full price for it, the guy wouldn't want to barter with me or lower his price. No.
Must have been worth it then.
Yes, it is.
So how much did you pay?
How much did I pay? Oh, it wasn't even very much. I think it was like 60, 80 bucks that I paid for this.
Well, that's not bad.
I know, but I'm cheap.
You just like to barter.
Trying to barter with something you can't even barter with. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, well, a story that I was told about the flute. I was told this when I was living down in Thunder Bay for a little bit. I have some family out there that I miss very much. I was living in Thunder Bay, and every Thursday, all the natives in the city knew where to gather at the old Mishkiki Lodge building. And every Tuesday they would be meeting up. All the natives would be that knew about it. All of them that sang knew that was happening on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Every Tuesday at this Mishkiki Lodge in Thunder Bay, they have singing. And of course, they do it as appropriate as they can. They have an elder come on in, smoke pipe, do a little bit of a prayer, and pray for a good evening and good feelings throughout the night. And everyone is welcome to come in and sit while everyone sings. All the singers have their drums in the middle. Everyone's on the outside. It's like a little powwow on every Tuesday. But everyone just thinks of it as powwow practice. And I remember that the elder who ran this Mishkiki Lodge, this gathering every Tuesday, he'd always bring someone in or ask someone who's there to have a prayer, whether it's someone old, whether it's someone young, to have a prayer for water and blueberries, which was given halfway through this gathering, just for the singers, just a little bit of water and just a couple of blueberries, just enough to go around, enough for everyone to have a taste of it. And of course, it's prayed for. And I remember Tony Tuito, he brought in a man who was from up north, a fly-in reserve, and who had a flute that kind of looks like mine. He shared a story about this young man, this shy man, long way back when before non-natives were on this land and we lived off the land for what it was, not for what we made it, that there was this man who was very shy and couldn't talk to other people and kind of just stayed around his home with his kukum and grandpa. He was so shy that he wouldn't go on out and socialize with the rest of the tribe. Okay. So I'm not calling him this guy the whole story. Let's give him a name. Let's, Ms. Kubanas. I'm sure I've shared this story with the students of Deer River, and if they can hear me, I'm sure they'll recognize it, that Ms. Kubanas. Redbird. Let's give this man that name. So Ms. Kubanas, he was shy. Only talked with his grandma and kuka. Wasn't really social, and he was getting to that stage of his life where he's becoming a man and he has to go out into the bush alone and do his fasting. And his grandpa helped him. His grandpa helped him get ready for this fast, and he was on his way. When he was far enough away from people and far enough away from the lake so that it wasn't tempting to just go down and have a drink, where he found himself completely alone with just nothing but the silence, he began to pray on his first day of his fast, praying, wishing to get over his shyness so that he would be able to have a conversation with someone other than a family member. He wanted people to know that he existed. And that's what he prayed for. On that first day, nothing came to him. Right on into the second day. He prayed, he sang, right through the second day onto the third. On the third day, he's tired, he's weak. Couldn't think of any other songs to sing, got tired of singing the same ones. Got tired of praying for the same things over and over. Where he finally felt beat, and he just sat in silence, hungry, tired, and weak. During that silence that he was sitting in, he was forced to listen. And what he could hear was something just as simple as the wind blowing through the trees. Chickadees singing, birds singing, all that he took for granted just so that he could get over his shyness. He had so much to say, he never stopped to listen to what was around him. In that silence, he listened, and that's when the spirits finally came to him. From the spirits, he was taught how to craft together two pieces of wood to make into what we see as the flute. It takes two pieces to make the inside hollow, and he was taught how to do that. He was taught how to make a flute, but he didn't know what it was for. On that third day, so excited with that gift from the spirits, he went back to his community, back to the tribe, excited to show his grandpa and his grandma, "Look at what I got. Look at what the spirits gave me. I am a man now." And then his grandpa asked him, "Well, what's it for?" "A manjigo," he said. "I don't know." "Well, then you're not done. Go back out into the bush. Finish off." Disappointed, he goes back out. Sits out all night again into the fourth day. Tired and weaker and hungrier. He sat trying to pray, asking for some more guidance on what this is for. And again, on that fourth day, he found himself in silence. And in listening to everything around him, the wind, the trees, the birds, he decided to try and discover what it was for. And what he found out was that it made noise. On that fourth day, and as tired as he was, as weak as he was, he found himself discovering the different noises that his flute was making. And soon he found himself in harmony with all the other noises that was around him when he was in complete silence. What he thought was complete silence. He found out that he was playing. He was playing all day, and he played right on through until that fourth night. He had no idea that it was night. He was having the time of his life with his new discovery. When the fifth day come around, Gichimani Tui comes on down, and then right in the middle of Meskobanas is playing. He says, "Meskobanas, what are you still doing out here? Today's the fifth day. You're only supposed to be out here for four. Go on back to your tribe." And then, without hesitation, time catches up to him. He realizes that it was the fifth day and listens to old Gichimani too and runs back to his tribe with his flute. When his grandpa asks him, "Do you know what that's for?" He said, "Yes, aya." And then he starts playing for his grandma and his grandpa. With that sound, a sound that was never heard before, was heard throughout the whole community. And while Meskobanas played, he found himself in harmony again as he was playing for his grandparents. He found a rhythm that you can only find when you're surrounded by silence, a rhythm which he lived his life in as he was playing for his grandparents. Everyone heard and followed the noise, and everyone found Miskobinas playing his flute. People gathered without Miskobinas even knowing because his eyes were closed. He was in the zone playing his own music, feeling the harmony from everything around him. He did not notice everyone gather. When he decided that was enough, he opened his eyes and to see everyone around him, he got shy and closed his eyes again and just to keep on playing. He felt he was courageous enough to play with his eyes open because he realized that he was playing in front of everyone. And throughout all that crowd, everyone around him, he made eye contact with that prettiest girl in the tribe. From that day, from then on, it was considered an instrument for love. A lot of older people joke around about the flute being sacred because of the power of love that it brings. On that day, Miskobinas, when he made eye contact with the prettiest girl in the tribe, he had that woman come to him instead of him going to her. And that is why that this was considered an instrument for making love music. And from that day on, Miskobinas married the prettiest girl in his tribe just because of the music that he was able to make. And along with that, Miskobinas got over his shyness. Everyone knew him as the flute player. That's my story.
Miigwech, it's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing it.
I just wanted to thank Alex for coming to us and being able to share his stories with the drum and the flute and to share the story that goes along with the flute. I appreciate that, Miigwech.
Miigwech, you have anything else you want to say?
Well, if you're interested in picking up the flute as an instrument, I encourage it. It is an instrument that has been around for our people for a very long time. So I encourage to pick it up. Let's pick it back up. There's very few of us that know how to play the flute, and there could be more. Miigwech.